We're glad you've joined us for today's program. Brave is the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Swarzentraw, senior pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. Brave exists to challenge brave warriors for courageous kingdom advancement. And that's the goal of this program. To learn more about Pastor Jeff and the ministry of Brave, visit our website at bravepastorjeff.com. There you'll find full sermons and other resources to equip you to be a brave warrior. And if you'd like to give a gift to keep programs like this one going strong, you can do that as well. The website again is bravepastorjeff.com. Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff concludes his message, Exhortations for a Thriving Church, from the series Stronger, and shows you practical ways for God's people and the church to thrive. Now, here's today's program.
Servants get to choose what they do in some sense. Slaves don't have any say. Slaves just say, yes, sir, no, sir. Do this, yes, sir. Don't do this, yes, sir. You know, I mean, that's what we all are. We're servants or slaves of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, sir, notice this. But I will come to you after I go through Macedonia, that's northern Greece, for I am going through Macedonia. Paul's saying this. I mean, here's a principle you can say. Paul is listening and watching for where the Lord's going to lead him. There was a book written years ago, and in the book it said, find out where God is at work and go join him. I think the name of the book was Experiencing God. Right? Find out where God's at work. If you want to serve, hey, listen, pray. God, where can I serve? God, how have you gifted me? Lord, where's there opportunity to give my best? And then listen for that, watch for that, and do that. Paul's saying, hey, listen, I'm in Macedonia right now. This is where God has me. This is where I'm going to serve. This is where he's led me. This is what I'm going to do. Verse 6, he says this, and perhaps I will stay with you or even spend the winter so that you may send me on my way wherever I go. The second thing I would say about serving is he's open and flexible to how the Lord wants him to serve. Perhaps I'll come to you. Perhaps I'll stay with you a little longer, and then you can send me wherever God's going to go. I don't know what God has for my life. Guess what? None of us do. But in this season, here's what I'm listening for. Here's what I'm sensing. I'm flexible to how God's going to have me. I've been in ministry since I was 24. I've been a Christian for nearly 30 years. I believe very strongly in this season that this could be the place that God has me for the rest of my life to serve him, to call up pastors, to pastor a church, to send people out all over the world. That's what I'm thinking it is. But can I tell you this? Here's how I hold it, like this, open hand. If God came to me tonight and said, you're moving to Kenya with your family and you're going in 2 months, guess what I'm doing? I'm moving with my family to Kenya in 2 months. Why? Because I serve at the Lord's pleasure. I'm his slave, not your slave. What was Paul saying? He goes, I'm looking for opportunities and I'm listening to the Lord, but I'm open and I'm flexible to however the Lord may lead me. Notice verses 7 and 8. For I do not wish to see you just now in passing, for I hope to remain with you for some time if the Lord permits. Do you hear his heart for the people? He loves them. I don't just want to come do a flyby. I want to come stay with you. This wasn't in a day where you booked a flight and landed in the morning, spent 12 hours and went home. I mean, this is a long time. You're going to travel for days to get there. You're going to have to figure out who you're staying with so that you have food. And I mean, this is a big deal. And Paul's like, I want to come spend time with you. Notice verse 8, but I will remain in Ephesus until Pentecost. In other words, he's going to stay where he's at because of the opportunity he has. Here's a principle I think you can pull out from that. Finish well where you're at. You don't need to bounce around from ministry to ministry to ministry. God told me to move. God told me to move. God told me to move. God told me. He probably didn't tell you as much as you think he's telling you. Just because it's uncomfortable for you doesn't mean it's time to move on. Sometimes when it's uncomfortable for you, that's the time to hunker down and remain because that's exactly where God has you. Finish well. How you leave a ministry in one place will be how you enter it in the next. If you leave a ministry by deserting people and tearing it up and gossiping about them, you won't be fruitful in your next ministry, right? When you leave, finish well. Know that the Lord's done with your season there. When we're recruiting people and we're telling them, hey, where are you at? Can you leave now? Can I talk to your boss? Who are you working for? Did you leave well where you're at? Were you faithful to your calling? Were you good to the people that you were serving? If their answer is no, it's you need to go fix that first before you're coming with us because we don't want to drag your baggage in here. Paul's saying, I'm going to finish well. And notice this, finally, this is a great principle. He says, for a wide door for effective service is open to me, and there are many adversaries. I mean, he sees the opportunity. He's listening. There's a wide door, but notice this. The greater the opportunity, the greater the opposition. Nobody amened that, so I got to say it again. The greater the opportunity, the greater the opposition. The higher you want to rise to serve the Lord, the more spiritual attack you will endure. Fact, right? It's not less, it's more. You don't ascend beyond spiritual attack, you ascend towards it. It's like if you were put, the closer you get on the front lines of battle, the more bullets are going to go whizzing by your head, right? That's what he's saying. And just know that. I mean, because for some of us here, like, I want to serve, but I want to serve in that role. I want to serve in this position. I want to get there. Here, let me just give you a word. If you can't serve, you can't lead. Like, where are you serving? I mean, it's like the guy that makes no money for 10 years, but he's like, quote unquote, holding out for a management position. I mean, just go serve somewhere. I mean, the greatest accelerant to leadership is finding a place to be a humble servant. You want to accelerate your witness for the Lord? Serve faithfully when nobody knows who you are. Because God sees. God sees. You don't start at the top and form some ministry and here's what I'm going to do. I've never seen that work because that's not what God prospers. You find a place which is a few people and you serve faithfully. And if it's your gifting and if it's God's calling, fruit will be produced to a place where you will accelerate. The cream always rises to the top. You were created to serve. He says, serve well. Serve well. And we're regularly seeking opportunities to serve in the same way we're regularly seeking opportunities to be generous with our resources. It's how God made us, right? And this is tough. I know this is tough because we live in a world that says my money's mine and my time is mine. And I don't like somebody telling me that neither of those two things are mine. I'm your pastor. I'm telling you, neither of those two things are yours. Your money's not yours. Your time's not yours. God's given you every allotment of time. He's given you every ability you have. He's given you every resource you have, and he's given it to you for himself, okay? And then Paul finally goes to this place here where his final exhortation is to do this regularly. Regularly encourage ministry leaders. Regularly encourage ministry leaders in their service to the Lord. Notice what he says in verse 10. Now, if Timothy comes, see that he is with you without cause to be afraid, for he is doing the Lord's work as I also am. Isn't it interesting? Every time Paul talks about Timothy, he always talks about Timothy being afraid. I mean, 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of sound mind. Why? Because Timothy was a fearful guy. Paul's saying, hey, when he comes to you, Corinth, when he comes into your church, don't let him be afraid. He's always telling Timothy, don't let them look down on you because you're young. Don't be afraid. When he sends him to the Philippians, he's like, I have no one else of kindred spirit like him. For all else seek their own interest, but not Timothy. He has served alongside of me in the gospel like a son to his father. Paul loved Timothy like nobody else that he loved. He mentored Timothy like nobody else he mentored. And he's telling the church, don't make it hard for him. Don't make him afraid. Don't let them be intimidated by you. Verse 11, so that no one will despise him. That means don't look down on him. Don't reject him, but send him on his way in peace so that he may come to me, for I expect him with the brethren. In other words, take care of God's servants that I send to you. Okay? Now, I hope you know that when I'm preaching the word, I am not preaching this morning to be self-serving in any way, but you need to be aware of this. Some of you need to be aware of this because you won't be at Brave Church in Denver, Colorado for the rest of your life. You're going to serve under other pastors and be in other churches. And for those of you who are going to stay here, you're going to go be part of other churches while we go plant them. You need to understand the heart. And I'll tell you this, there's nothing harder than doing full-time ministry. Nothing. If you don't believe me, up your service. You don't think it's hard to lead a small group? Lead one. You don't think it's hard to oversee them? Oversee them. You don't think it's hard to serve in kids ministry? Go try it. You don't think it's hard to serve with our students? Go do it. You don't think it's hard to serve in 20s? Go be part of 20s. I mean, wherever you up your service, you will find it gets really difficult really fast, right? And so what Paul's saying is encourage people that are serving you. Encourage those that are bringing God's word to you. Encourage those who are regularly caring for you. Don't make their life harder. Make it easier for them. He says the same thing about Apollos in verse 12. Apollos was probably the greatest speaker in the first century. It says, but concerning Apollos, our brother, I encouraged him greatly to come to you with the brethren. And it, look at this. And it was not at all his desire to come now, but he will come when he has opportunity. How about this? Give your ministry leaders a break.
You're listening to Brave, and today Pastor Jeff is sharing his message, Exhortations for a Thriving Church, from the series Stronger, showing you practical ways for the church and God's people to thrive. We'll return to his teaching in a moment, but before we do, we want to help you be prepared to go boldly against the flow of culture and unapologetically take a stand for kingdom values. And we invite you to become a Brave Warrior today by signing up for emails from Pastor Jeff. You'll get exclusive first look access to exciting new content, ministry updates, and resources to help you fight the good fight of faith and boldly pursue the fulfillment of the Great Commission. To become a Brave Warrior, simply go to bravepastorjeff.com to sign up. Again, that's bravepastorjeff.com. Now, let's return to Pastor Jeff and hear more of today's Bible teaching.
I told Apollos, I told him, I was encouraging him to come. He said he didn't want to come now. Respect that. It means we respect it in your life. I mean, serving is not a you better or else, or you have to, or you're bad if you don't. I'll respect it. Different seasons happen in different people's lives at different times, right? I mean, there's certain seasons where you just have more time to serve in a certain way. And you know what? We'll respect that here. But if your season's 5 years, that's too long of a season to take off. So, I mean, sometimes there's a season to get back. Sometimes there's a season to recalibrate the family. Sometimes there's a season to really formulate some things in your heart. But then there's a season to get back involved. We'll respect that. But the ongoing regular service needs to be part of who you are as a Christian. And be good to your ministry leaders. If you're in a small group, encourage them. When was the last time you encouraged them? When's the last time you took one of them out for dinner? When's the last time you said, hey, thanks for opening your home? Hey, when's the last time you said, thanks for opening the Word and caring about me? Thanks for praying for me. When's the last time that happened? Encourage them. Why? Because Christian service is hard and nobody gets enough encouragement in that. Now, last night what I did was I shared this slide, which I'll share with you too. It came out of Strategic Renewal. Daniel Henderson, that preaches for me from time to time, put this up, and I looked at these statistics. And if you just look at those statistics, they're a little bit shocking when it comes to pastors. I mean, I look at these statistics, and 97% of pastors have been betrayed, falsely accused, or hurt by their trusted friends. And I'm like, yeah, maybe. I think that number's a little low, perhaps for first-year people. I think it's 100%, personally. Okay? 70% of pastors battle depression every single year. I didn't even know what depression was until I started ministering. 7,000 churches. Think about this. Not 7,000 people. 7,000 churches close each year. 1,500 pastors, okay, quit every single month. Not one church with 1,500 people. 1,500 pastors quit. Not to be like, hey, I'm going to take some time off. I mean, I'm never going back to ministry again. 10% will retire as a pastor. That's a high number. I've seen more like 4%. 80% of pastors feel discouraged. 94% of pastors' family feel the pressure of ministry. 78% of pastors have no close friend. And 90% of pastors working 55 to 75 hours a week. Basically what it's saying is pastors are overworked. Now most people say, well, pastors, you just work on Sunday morning. I love your job, right? It's not true. Now last night I read a statement from a friend of mine from one of his sermons to his people because I didn't want to come across as self-serving, but in praying through it last night, I thought, you know what? I could be vulnerable with you. I could be vulnerable what I've learned over the last almost 8 years of being your pastor. And I've titled this, What I Wish I Would Have Known. And this is not a rebuke because I want to let you know something before I read this. I feel extremely encouraged to be your pastor. And I want to tell you something else. I love every single one of you. I genuinely do, okay? But these are things that I wish I would have known before I became a pastor. I wish I would have known that being a pastor is for sure a calling and not a career. That God selected you, and don't ever forget that. If you're not called, you don't go into ministry. You will quit. And if you are called, never forget this. It means God put his hand on you, and for whatever reason, he chooses the shameful things of the world to confound the wise. He's like, you're my boy, and this is what you're doing. And don't you ever forget, no matter what anybody else says, I love you, and I've called you to this. Wish I would have known that. I wish I would have known this, that you will be constantly tempted to compare. Don't. You are unique, pastors. You're unique. Your church is unique. Your family, who you married, who your kids are, they're unique. And be who God called you to be because you can't be who everybody else wants you to be. You're unique, right? I wish I would have known that. I wish I would have been told that being a faithful preacher of the word is nearly impossible. Stay faithful. Stay faithful. Stay focused. Don't worry about who will be offended. Don't worry about who will be leaving. Don't worry about who's going to stop giving to your church. understand this. Hate mail is normal. It's normal. And it's just a sign that you're being faithful to the text of God's word. Stay rooted even in the text, even when so few churches in our culture will do it. And even some of the churches that say, what a great pastor, what a great this, you'll listen to them. They never open the Bible, or they only open it up to reference their leadership talk that they want to have, which has absolutely nothing to do with what God is trying to say. Okay? Sorry, I'm passionate about that. Wish I would have been told that challenging people to grow will not always be met with optimism. That when you're going to worship and teach people to raise their hands and celebrate Jesus, that not everybody will agree with that. When you're going to teach people that the word of God is more important than a pastor, not everybody will agree with that. When you're going to try to involve prayer and services because you believe that seeking the face of God is the most important thing to do, that you're going to lose people in your church because you're faithful with what God wants. Wish you would understand that challenging people in a counseling session, that sometimes you're going to care more about their walk with Christ than they are about their own. Wish somebody would have told me that. Wish somebody would have told me that spiritual attack is the norm. Expect it. Expect it. Every Friday through Monday in my house, it's the exact same routine, isn't it? Every Friday in my house, by about 6 o'clock on Friday night, I know that if Kim and I don't watch our words, one of us is going to get into an argument with the other. It's usually my fault, but it's going to happen. Or my kids are going to be wayward. And Saturdays, it's better if we don't even hang out that much. And then I'm going to come with the thrill and excitement of preaching God's word and the fear of who am I to present these wonderful truths of the Lord. And why am I even doing this? And does anybody even care? And then I'm going to preach it, and I'm going to feel totally excited about it till about 2 p.m. on Sunday, at which time I wish I had a do-over for about 5 things that I said, wish I could repeat the message. And then on Monday, I'm going to wake up, and I'm going to hear that voice in my head that says, why don't you get a real job? Nobody's listening to anything you say anyway. I mean, why don't you go do something with your life that counts, and I'm going to want to quit. That happens every single week. Unless I'm in Vail with my family, and I didn't feel it at all. It was awesome. I wish somebody would have told me that other people's opinions are endless. Listen to them, but don't sweat it. I wish people would have told me that there's insecure people that will come to you after being at one service with their verbal resume for everything that you need to change in your church, making them the expert, kind of like people thinking they're a master mechanic because they own a car, or they're a doctor because they've been to the hospital, right? Or prideful people who refuse to ever serve unless asked, falsely believing that their busy schedule and other Christian activities are more important than serving Christ in his church. I wish somebody would have told me that. I wish somebody would have told me that your family will be the personal targets of satanic attack. Expect it. That your marriage will be significantly challenged. That your wife will receive unsolicited verbal abuse in the form of phone calls, emails, and face-to-face conversations from people that want their way and blame her for why things aren't going the way they needed to go. Wish somebody would have told me that your kids will be the focus of attacks as well. That at times they'll come home in tears crying because somebody told them in kids' ministry that they should know the answer because their daddy's the pastor. Wish somebody would have told me that. Wish somebody would have told me instead of being built up, many people in your church will seek to tear you down. So make sure some of your best Christian friends are those who don't attend your church. Because you're always on. Because no matter who you are, no matter what you talk to, church comes up every single time you talk to people. I wish somebody would have told me that fickle, unhappy people will falsely accuse you, gossip about you, and attempt to malign your character. And understand when that happens, those are God's blessings. And that you're called to not say anything, but to entrust yourself to the one who judges justly. And to pray for them and pray favor on their life and blessing on their life and forgiveness for them until your heart aligns with what Jesus feels about them. I wish somebody would have told me that Matthew 5, 11 and 12 would be one of your favorite verses. Blessed are you when people malign you and say all sorts of evil things about you. Rejoice and be glad because you know your reward in heaven is great. I wish somebody would have told me that you'll want to quit but don't. I wish somebody would have told me everything that you do will attempt to pull you away from your priority of prayer and the ministry of the word. Don't lose your passion for Jesus. I wish somebody would have told me that your schedule will not allow you to be there for everyone and that you're always going to let people down. Just accept that. Wish somebody would have told me that not everyone will make the journey with you when you grow as a church. Expect that. It's okay. Wish somebody would have told me that people who are your good friends now will slowly disappear as you pursue the dreams that God has placed in your heart. Some will do so graciously and others will leave, people that have been close to you that will never even say goodbye or never do anything and just walk away. Wish somebody would have told you that the vision that you have in your heart will always go beyond what your present capacity is to accomplish it. Wish somebody would have told me that you will always be misunderstood. Wish somebody would have told me that regardless of how gifted you are in one area, people will poke at your weakness, in others, falsely believing that you're supposed to be great at everything. And I wish somebody would have told me that the weight of ministry will always be there, that time away on vacation won't change that, because if you're called, you can't stop thinking about God's people. But in all that, that's what a calling is. If you're called by God, that's what you're getting into, right? And I'm grateful for the calling God's put on my life. And I'm not saying this to be self-serving so that 30 of you send me emails and say, Jeff, let's get dinner this week. I didn't know. Now, I'm not doing that, right? I feel blessed by you. And I love you. I'm just saying the weight of ministry is for real. And that church you left and that pastor that you talked about, I wish somebody told me that when you come in and talk to me about your last pastor that you had, that it's only a matter of time until you're saying the same thing about me and my wife at somebody else's church. I wish I would have known that. I didn't know that. Like, I'm here for one reason and one reason only, to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ and to be faithful, to pray for his saints and preach the word, to build people up, to share the gospel, to see people saved and to see people grow. That's why I'm here. Amen. And we're sanctification for one another. I get to put all my faults on display every single week. You get to see them all and say, we follow a flawed man who loves Jesus, because you do. And I serve a flawed church that loves Jesus. I do. And that God would say, hey, I wish you'd told me this. Just keep loving your people and loving me, and I'll take care of everything. And during times, God then gives glimpses of greatness, right? He gives glimpses of greatness, like 88 baptisms in one weekend, a brand new church building, a remodeled church building, a growing, thriving church, people getting saved, marriages getting put back together, children's ministry that starts thriving, student ministry that's growing, 20s ministry, people that didn't know how to serve before that are now serving, people that would say, I don't even know what you're talking about, that are now doing what they're doing, and they're like, I totally get it now. I started coming to Brave Church. I was so excited. I met all these Christian people. It was so great. And then I started serving and my life fell apart. Welcome. We tell every elder before we bring them on board, hey, listen, if this is what God's called you to, just know this. Your life's going to fall apart in some way. I just don't know how. And every time it's happened, either in business or family or kids or some way, that's what we're signing up for. Why? Because what we're doing as a church is a spiritual entity that is under attack by the enemy, who hates what we do and hates who's leading. So here's the thing. You can't encourage your ministry leads too much. And I'll tell you the best way you can encourage me. It's not season tickets to the Broncos game, although if you want to do that, that's fine. Best way you can do it for me, and some of you do it, is you pray for me. Pray for me. I know so many of you do that. Sometimes you tell me how God's word has touched your life. That encourages me. Sometimes you talk about how our church and people in our church are touching your life. That encourages me. Encourage our pastors. And I'm not just talking about me. I'm not just talking about our staff. And I'm not just talking about our elders. I'm talking about everybody who's serving here is serving because they love the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what Paul's saying. He's like, if you're going to be a thriving church, these are three things we want to do regularly, ongoing. What do we want to do? We want to give generously to things of God with our resources. We want to serve generously to build up the kingdom of Christ. And what do we want to do? We want to regularly encourage our team who's doing it, because there's enough attack outside. Let's make sure we're the church that builds one another up. Amen? And I just want to tell you this. I mean, do not walk away from this message. I don't care if you're here in Englewood. I don't care if you're in Broomfield. Do not walk away and say, I feel so beat up. No, you don't. It's God showing you ways that you can grow. And hear me as your pastor. I'm telling you, I prayed really hard before I shared what I shared. I wanted to be vulnerable with you. I wanted you to hear my heart. I love you. I love our church. I love the privilege I have. I don't feel needy. I feel like God's taking care of me. I feel like you take care of me. If there's any church I could pastor in the entire country, this would be the church I'd want to pastor. Amen? But let's continue to grow in these areas, and let's continue to let God do what he wants to do in building his church.
Thanks for listening to Brave. That was Pastor Jeff with his message, Exhortations for a Thriving Church, from the series Stronger, revealing some practical ways for the people of God to flourish. Your support keeps this program going out to people across the nation, challenging them to boldly fight for the fulfillment of the Great Commission in our lifetime. To give a gift of support today, go to bravepastorjeff.com. Before you go, we want to invite you to visit Brave Church at any of our campuses, Englewood, Westminster, and our newest location in Colorado Springs. Or you can join us right from home through our weekend live stream. Visit bravechurch.online Scroll down and click the Brave Church link at the bottom for details and directions. Thanks for joining us today.